The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.
Hi everybody, Tim here. Welcome to this week's episode of the Polyhedron Society's Star Wars Edge of the Empire Actual Play Podcast. Head on over to Legends of Tabletop where you can listen to the Meet the Host segment featuring myself, Tim, where John interviews me and we talk about the things that make me tick. And I apologize in advance for that particular story. Thank you. Enjoy this week's episode.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Star Wars, Episode 14, Nest. The crew of The Last Ride finishes scavenging Ozala's wreckage and decides to finally track down the missing miners. In the process, they end up in a nest of the vicious creatures known as the Scorn.
So, I went ahead and rolled Obligation. We'll see whose Obligation triggered this time, after we roll our Force and our Destiny. Risker, what'd you get?
Hold on.
I did good this time.
It's a dark side.
I have one dark side. Vogs.
One light side.
Aw, boo hiss. Data?
I got a light side.
Boo hiss. Lan?
One dark side.
Yeah, I like you, Lan. And
Draco?
Dark, of course.
So the Destiny pool stands at a total of 5 with 2 light side points and 3 dark side points. So let's talk about Obligation. Risker, you're hanging out inside The Last Ride.
Uh-huh.
And you've been there for the entire night. And while you're laying there, you've gone through some crisis here recently. And all you can think of is that debt that you owe. And you really begin to dissect it in your head because I'm of the understanding that you aren't really familiar with the person you owe the money to.
No idea.
And you're not even 100% sure why you owe this person money.
No idea.
But you know it's a substantial amount.
Yeah.
It's, how much is it?
Oh, God, it was like 300,000 credits.
In excess of 300,000 credits you owe this guy money. And all the weight of all that combined with the things that have recently happened, it just really weighs heavy. Heavy on you, heavy on your soul. So that being said, you will suffer the 2-point strain reduction for the rest of the session.
Okay, can I give a suggestion for how the others get the minus one?
Sure.
Okay, I left the comm link on so they can hear my soft sobbing.
Oh, perfect.
This is like, what, the 10th time your obligations come? You know, whoever they are, they're eventually going to come back for their money. Right?
Oh, God.
In person.
Listen, at this point, I'm pretty sure Tim just, like, has written, like, Risker's name all over the notebook, and he's just giggling.
It's a coin toss. Dr. Risker, somebody else. just,
And on the somebody else list is Risker.
Right. The group's total obligation is like 60%. Risker is like 56% of it. Vog is 1%. Draco's 1%. Land's 1%. And Data is 1%.
That doesn't surprise me.
Right. I knew it.
Nope. But you're laying there crying and have no clue whatsoever that... Oh, that's pretty good. So not only does it affect them, but I'm pretty sure when they hear you rambling about 300,000 credits.
Oh, no, he doesn't ramble about that. He's
Maybe you just need to ramble.
Yeah.
So that we can understand what you're actually rambling about.
So, why me? I've been a good person. I paid my taxes like everybody else. Is it because I don't use fabric softener? Is it because I used Land's toothbrush last night?
Risker, you realize your comm's open.
Oh, I fail at everything. Oh, don't look at me.
Let's keep this clear. Let's keep this channel clear.
Click, remove the battery. So that would happen probably right before the time frame where you guys are, right before you hear the maidens scream off in the distance. They're relatively close and have no clue how fast they'll be here. You have no idea if they're even coming up here.
Let's get back to the ship.
Sound plan.
What, right? What was that?
You don't want to know.
We'll talk about it on the ship. Let's go.
Right. So you have the transponder code.
And the thing to fix the ship. The part that we needed.
Filter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. You guys will be able to get in the ship pretty quick, pretty easy. And shut the place up.
I go to the gun turrets and wait for the Sand Maidens.
Okay, Vog, you sit down into the turret.
Yes.
And fire up the power so that you're ready. The rest of you guys.
We'll fly up, get away from this mess here.
Right.
This crash site. I'll go see Data.
Right.
He's probably putting that part back in.
The filter.
Okay. Yeah.
Fixing.
Right. Yeah. That we just found in the crash site. Mm-hmm. Data, right?
Yeah.
You know, I just want to say I'm having a really hard time with this.
I can't even look at you, man.
I had a Tuca cat as a pet when I was a kid. And I don't understand how you can be talking. But since you can, and I've seen the mechanical genius that you happen to have, several days ago, we were supposed to go find miners from a mining site that were attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody told us that they would be dead. Plus, I really had no clue on how to find these miners. I was wondering, do you have the ability to change our sensors so that we could detect human life from the Scorn and maybe fly over some of their villages and see if we could actually detect any of these miners?
I don't know. Maybe I can take a look at it. I guess that's what I'll go do once I finish.
Once you finish making the repairs.
And licking himself.
Yeah, I've got at least 2 more hours of that. And then I'm going to sleep. Then I'm going to go eat something. Then I'm probably going to go sleep for a few more hours. Then I'm going to lick myself. Then I'm going to sleep. But after that, I'll get right on it. Don't worry about it.
This is how stuff works with that. He fixes something, then he breaks it. It's kind of like his moral code.
I have to stay neutral. For everything I fix, I must also break something.
Could you imagine a cat being like a mechanic? Every time he fixes something, he's got to stop. Oh, I got to wash my hands. He would never get anything done.
It's like cats do now.
Right. They're too busy being cats. They need anything done. That's what they enslaved us for.
I've made my choice. When the war between vampires and cats goes down, I have chosen my eternal masters.
The cats, because I'm going to be on the winning side.
So you could run the sensors. It would probably be hard to differentiate, but it's possible.
What check would it be?
A computer's check to run the sensors.
Dice sounds.
Would you like to assist me?
Sure.
I mean, I don't think it really matters. It's just as bad as that sounds. But
I'm sorry. I forgot that's what assist meant. I was thinking you were asking Jeremy to blow on the dice.
Like, be a lady tonight.
That couldn't have been any worse.
Drake could have.
The ship crashes and explodes.
Well, one advantage.
One advance.
Well, three of my dice, my positive dice, were blank.
Do you have any idea how you would like to spend that one lonely advantage?
Yes, a boost on the next time we try it.
I can do that.
I'll try it again.
Okay. So what I imagine, because sensors go out, and for starships, the range band is much larger than it is for you guys. So at short range, that could be many, many kilometers versus short range for you at a personal scale would be many meters.
So what is the what does it look when you use it, the scanner? Like, what is it?
Think of any scene.
It's like binoculars or something?
No, it's more like radar or sonar, I imagine.
It's like a Dragon Ball radar.
Or not. I don't know what that is.
That's fine. Jackson gets me.
But it basically gives you readings back. Yeah. It can tell you things.
Okay.
So what I imagine is that Draco is flying the ship, probably in a pattern, just so that you guys can run the sensors.
I got two successes and an advantage. Two advantages.
Okay. So what you pick up is, with the successes, you pick up a large mass of life forms, probably 50 or more of smaller 1 meter type life forms. There's also some other life forms that you pick up that are larger, which would be more human size. And there's like three or four of those. Then you also pick up several more life forms that are silhouette two. They're bigger, more horse size. And all of these life forms are clustered in one area.
So we're going to have to go in for a visual.
If you want to see and get more detail on what you're actually looking at on the sensor, then yes.
Okay, let's fly in closer.
Okay. As the ship gets closer and closer, the sun begins to break. Because remember, it was right before dawn, but you guys were pulling a transponder code out. So everything has that, you know, pre-dawn kind of light. And as you rapidly approach the campsite or the cluster, whatever you want to call it, you know, you can begin to see that there's a whole plethora of like small tents. They look like dome tents, but they're made of animal hide. And then you can even see fires that have been made. No, scratch that. You wouldn't see any fires. You see large, as you guys get close enough to begin to make out details and stuff, you can see large panther-like, Nexu-like creatures that are lounging about with the Scorn. And then bigger beasts of burden that are similar to like an elk. The horns are big and thick, but instead of them being on top of their heads, they're kind of at the end of their faces, the end of their muzzle. So it kind of comes up and then it pans out almost like a shovel head on the front of its face. But when it looks with its eyes, it can look underneath that big shovel horn looking thing.
How close are the human-sized figures to the edge?
They're in the center of the camp, and they're also in the biggest tent. This tent is bigger than all the other ones.
Does the ship have its own kind of like microscope system kind of thing that we could use?
Down periscope?
I don't understand.
Like something that would be more of like
binoculars or some kind of like visual.
No, sensor. I don't think
so. How far away are we?
You guys are close enough at this point, because I imagine you're doing a flyover, that you can see.
Yeah, we're going to strafe by with some shots a couple of times before we land.
Right, and clear out some of the adversaries. You guys are right at the edge of the encampment, and are able to, you know, blast by overhead. And like I said, you see all of these Scorn, and you've seen one, so you know what it looks like visually. So you see there's tons of these things with their weapons. Many of them, as you guys are flying over, begin to take aim and actually shoot at your vessel. But of course, their blasters and other weapons that they're using are ineffective against the hull of a full-blown starship, especially a freighter. So they do nothing but cosmetic damage to your hull.
So can we see the humanoid guys yet?
They're inside a giant tent, or a giant compared to the 1 meter form of the Scorn.
How many turrets do we have on this ship?
You have two. One on top, one on bottom.
Take over while I jump in a turret.
You know, he's either going to do it, or he's either going to do it. So
He asks as he lets go of the steering wheel and starts walking away.
It's better if we have somebody flying.
Do you want to take this?
I mean, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Right. Well, here's the thing. If we just start blasting people with the turrets, what's going to stop them from just killing the people that are in the tents?
Or fear. What's to stop you from accidentally killing the people in the tents?
Aiming.
My great dice pool.
Right. All right, crew, what's our options here? We can just start blasting with the turrets?
That's one. We can do nothing, which is two. Both are probably terrible ideas. Try and sneak in, which is also a bad idea on account of suicide.
Okay.
We could trade them a talking cat. But
again, a terrible idea.
Yeah.
It fixes the ship. And until we figure out how to do that, I don't know.
Or how the cat does it.
Or how, yeah.
If I can just figure out how the cat does it, I'm good.
I'm probably not in the room either.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is in one room.
Okay.
Once well, everybody else is in
we
one
have
room,
the nothing other to trade them.
Tinker.
Like a cat.
Yeah. Kind of go through their stuff or whatever.
Have absolutely nothing that I can think of that we could trade them.
Well, sure we do. I mean, if they're anything like the one we met earlier, are they like anything that has flashing lights and buttons and shiny reflective bits on it? We got an entire ship made of that stuff.
Yeah, we got this right here.
Yeah.
just pulls a control panel out of the wall. Look, they'll like this. This looks important.
you start hearing flashing lights. Yeah. And
wow.
Yeah. Oh, that probably needs to be put back.
Okay. Dr. Risker, what do we have?
And you just slowly see from behind a crate, he just like slowly rises up with like the fur coat he's wearing over his head, kind of like a comfort blanket. And he kind of sniffles. He's like, what? I'm sorry. I was... in my thoughts, my happy place. But we were talking about trading?
We think we may have found some of the miners.
We did? Oh, that's great news. Where are they?
In the middle of a scorn camp.
Oh, that's not so great news. How big is this camp?
What'd you say, about 50 scorn?
50.
I don't want to see one more scorn, much less 50.
Oh, okay. I know I'm a doctor and I'm educated, but, like, I've only met one scorn and he nearly killed me, but he also traded me things. So, I mean, he seems to like the beeping of my data pad. So if we can somehow reconstruct, like, tiny little objects that do that? I mean, maybe we can trade for the miners. I mean, right? That sounds like a decent plan, right?
Well, we got a bunch of spare parts and stuff from the crash site. As much as I hate to part with the salvage, if it could save some people, maybe we can have the cat rig up some noisemakers out of that.
That's a very, very, very good idea.
Can you make bioluminescent chemicals?
I'd have to check my my room, but yes. I mean, it's not that hard. You just need a couple of ingredients to make anything glow.
Yeah, we got all those vials. Just make glowy water.
Oh, that would be really interesting.
We'll just run water through the core of the engine, and then it's irradiated, and it'll be great.
Then they'll glow.
They'll love it.
Everything works itself out that way.
Yeah. They get glowing stuff. Their numbers diminish. It's great.
I guess we could do that. I mean, doesn't sound impossible. I'll need a couple of sturdy containers for that kind of thing, because I mean, I honestly think they're probably going to break it, considering what they did to my data pad, my bed pack.
But, I don't know about you, but I'm definitely not keen on the trade idea, considering that if they're anything like what we've heard, chances are if we have something they like, they're a lot more likely to just try and kill us and take all of it rather than try and negotiate. Because I don't even know, from what we've seen, these things probably can't even speak anything that we know as language.
They may not speak, but he at least understood what I was saying.
Right.
like a trained animal would.
Right. That's not to say these Scorn will be able to understand.
Right. So
I know one thing they'll understand.
Could we make? Here's what I'm thinking. If I don't know if we can make it work, it's not really my department. But if we can make something that just flashes lights, make noise, and make them small and loud and flashy, if you can make as many of those as possible, and I don't know, have them be automated or something, and just let them out near the campsite, just kind of running out towards the desert. If they saddle up and ride after them, that'll at least get enough of a camp, get them out of camp, and cause enough distraction that we could do our business.
I could do that.
Let's do it. Sounds great.
So I should go to my lab then and get those.
I'm just going to take everybody's alarm clock.
Fluorescent stuff going?
Yes,
all of them.
Okay, I'll be back.
I'll take the timer on the microwave.
Yes, nothing is going to make anything that makes noise in the ship is not going to work from this day forward.
The toaster.
Our alarm clocks.
Some of the alarms and stuff on the control panel in the cockpit.
Why is that light blinking? I don't understand.
Engines are on fire. There's normally a sound that accompanies that. But
I'm not hearing it, so we're good.
Yeah.
That's how stuff works.
So you guys are probably able to take another hour or so to concoct your devices. I'm not going to make you roll or anything. It's pretty simple stuff.
Where are we going to do this at, though? We're not going to sit there and hover it. We're up above them.
We're hovering above.
I imagine the entire time this conversation has been taking place is the initial part was the flyover of the camp, and then you could always just be doing a giant circuit around, or you can go somewhere and land.
We just keep going in a straight line and land right back around on the planet. Right.
Or you could hit orbit and just orbit the planet. However you want to do it, it works either way.
Or hide behind that perfectly ship-shaped mountain.
Right.
Which is crazy because this is a desert planet. Why would there be mountains?
There's volcanoes.
There's volcanoes?
Yeah, that was established a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Let's throw the Trojan ring into it.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set these things out close to the edge of the camp, get back to the ship, take off.
And fire a flare.
When they go out, investigate, chase these things, whatever, we're going to land the ship next to the tent, grab these guys and go.
Okay.
I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm really proud of this plan.
They're not all going to go out there, though.
No, they're not all going to go out there. But
then we shoot all of them.
If if we get rid of a dozen, we're really hoping on the distraction factor here. Because these things are, from what we've seen, pretty easily distracted.
Yep. So we're going to distract, then we're going to grab and go.
Right. I'm going to make sure to make some extra ones.
Okay, I have like...
So when we get to the people, that we can still just throw them out there.
Yeah. I have some questions. How are they moving? Because this is important for my visual. So I'm looking at you, Jackson.
They're
please tell me.
Toys.
Yeah, they wind up toys.
Do they have the little legs?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I want one.
And then you make some others that are like bouncy balls with just like strobe lights in the middle.
And then one of them's
you throw them like grenades.
And then one of them's just a bop it. The
bop it on legs. Just,
yeah.
Or no, it's like a one motorized wheel. Like it rolls.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Bop it. Pull it. I think it was off into the distance.
But it's Data's voice.
Flip it. Punch it.
Beautiful.
So proceed with walking me through, as you're doing it, what you're doing. This is a very complicated plan.
No, it's not.
The plan is literally distract, grab, and run.
Dine and dash.
Right.
Right, so
I'm really good at the first part of that one. Really bad at the last part.
Right.
Cardio. Wow.
Draco is going to be in the turret.
Okay.
If we get cut off, if we can't get back to the ship, then he's going to clear a path for us.
Okay. I'll be with Draco then.
Okay.
Just watching him.
I'm going to be going through some of his stuff.
Oh, you missed one. Get that one. He's trying to run away. Oh, look, that one's got a family. Hit him.
His family.
And Risker are going to be in the turret.
Together.
Yes.
Yep, right behind him. You can feel my breath.
I'm going to be in the turret too, just like cats wonderful. Do, where they like, you know, get up.
You're going
like,
to sit in front of him in the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, and then rub the turret.
Rub the corner of the monitor. Play with the antenna. The cord hanging down from the headset. All right, so that's what you three are doing. Who's flying the ship?
Oh, I guess I'll go fly the ship.
Yeah.
That sounds like an awful idea. Because,
Dad, I can't reach the foot pedals.
Okay, so who's going to take the wind-up toys out?
Lan.
Yep, I will.
Lan? And what's Vog going to do this point?
Oh. He'll help me take the wind-up toys out, throw them out. We'll get back on the ship, fly over. Then Vog and I will dash to get the miners out.
Right.
Makes sense to me.
Okay.
There's nothing absolutely that could go wrong with this plan. It's foolproof.
I love it.
I'm trying to work it out how something could go wrong, and I'm not seeing anything. You guys are totally safe.
I love it.
I don't care
if it kills us. I love
feel
this plan.
Really, really good about it. Really good about it.
Need the A-team theme song.
So I don't know about you guys, but like the ones that are like fluorescent like liquids, I just imagine it's like these little egg things on legs just walking by. But Dada's like welded like pieces of cat ear iron pieces on top of it.
So like little cat eggs?
Yeah, just wandering off.
The eggs have the little legs on them, but they're just wrapped in Christmas lights that blink.
Yes. The only thing that I would be worried about would be that Dada was distracted by his own device.
Right. So he's following them out into the distance as well?
I imagine after this episode ends, there's a like a flash scene of Dada hiding in somebody's room, and he's built like a couple of extra ones.
Yeah, that's what the extra ones are for.
Hours after all this has happened, and he's playing with them.
That's even better. I want not all of them to get captured by the Scorn, so that like months later, we cut back to Cassadine, and there's one that just kind of made its way into town, walking down the main street.
They have Duracell that has the energy? The bunny, or whatever. So that's why.
Well,
that's
Energizer.
Energizer, yeah. That's the one they work forever.
God, I love it.
All right.
We're good.
Yep.
This is a brilliant plan. Give us another light side. I feel like this is it.
Good plan, great plan.
I'll flip a light side, flip over to a dark side.
You're not a gambler. Stop it.
I'll see your bluff and I'll call you. I'll raise you. Okay, so Risker, talk to me here. How much starship piloting experience do you have?
Well, let me look at my my resume, first of all. Give me a second here. Uh-huh. I'm going to say, like, that one time when I accidentally crashed a ship, I'm going to say pretty good. Pretty good. Nothing. No ranks. Nothing.
Cool.
I may or may not need to go to the front then.
No, it's fine.
Risker's got this. He's got
it. I got this.
You would, but you're tangled up in Christmas lights right now, so.
I know it doesn't matter to any of you, but I'm still wearing that coat over my head.
Crying.
I'm still crying.
With your right hand, or your right paw, over, but covering both eyes as you fly.
Oh, I get so ship sick. But
that's
no.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. What do I need to make this roll?
Okay. This is going to be an average pilot starship roll.
Which one is that? Planetary?
Planetary is planetary. Space, sorry.
Which one is it?
Space. You'll be using piloting space.
How much agility do I have?
On the planet.
Because you're flying a starship.
All right, so it's...
It's not where you are that sets the roll, it's what you're operating.
Yeah. Right, it's just you can't take a planetary vehicle into space, so...
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Part of why they... List it that way.
If you were gonna drive an AT-AT, an Imperial Walker, you would use pilot planetary.
I keep it because
you're
the
on
mic.
A planet,
and you could only use it on a planet.
Well, I would imagine that like piloting a planetary would be like if you're flying your ship through rocks.
Look at this. Be amazed.
You successfully got us there without killing us.
Okay, I rolled blanks on the
difficulty dice.
Yeah,
which was pretty much required for you to be able to do it without killing us.
Yeah, so I have a success and two advantages.
Okay, so the success means that you obviously successfully put the ship down pretty much where you want it. You're not sure if that was luck or on purpose. You can play it off however you want.
Not sure if that was a tent you heard crush or a small animal.
Not really sure, right? So what about your advantages? Do you have an idea of how you would like to spin those?
I feel a little better about myself because I did something right.
I thought destiny to feel better about myself.
She spends the advantages to boost his self-esteem.
Yeah. Listen.
It's been a rough couple of days. All right. Yeah. I need this.
he really does. So I guess
you have delusions of grandeur now that you're going to become this great pilot, this great ace.
But this is supposed to be in my favor. I feel like you will give me a setback in the future. So no. Let me have
just
this.
Keep putting you in a situation where you would.
Let me have this.
I'm letting you have it.
But I guess I think in a technical term, I guess I would like to give a boost die on the next player's check.
Okay.
So that's what I want to spend it on, that the next character gets a boost on whatever check they make because Risker didn't crash and burn. Right. Especially since he's not been himself the last few days. So.
And he did all of that under the duress of probably half a dozen Scorn shooting at the cockpit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's probably why you're successful. It shielded your vision. You couldn't see. So you just sat it down.
He just put the coat over his eyes. And just hope for the best.
It's all right. He landed on the guy shooting on him anyway, so he'll never know. Just don't say anything.
So you guys will be able to drop the ramp and disperse your distraction devices and then get back up in the ship.
Great.
Do it.
Right. Close the ramp would be Risker's opportunity to launch, to take off, which is easy. No rolls are necessary. You're good.
Okay, good.
And then those six that were shooting begin to progress towards the spot where you...
Now, whenever they get to the tourists, just drop the ship.
The distraction devices.
What about the rest of the Scorn? What's their reaction to it?
The ones that you can see are... It's really... You probably couldn't even tell the difference between a male and a female, though. Well, I would imagine... You guys may or may not know this, but I would imagine that the males... All their frill and crests and stuff that they have are larger and more brightly colored to attract mates. The females have a lower profile and are less, they're not as brightly colored as the males, even though they're all really that sand color, but maybe the females are darker with a lower profile.
But don't they use the frills to fly?
If the opportunity presents itself, they can and have been known to launch themselves just by picking... Okay.
Oh, you're
current.
Being serious.
Yeah. They don't necessarily fly. They just kind of, they play
kite. I remember how I remember things.
I know you remember how you remember things.
It flew.
Like a kite.
Like a flying squirrel.
Yeah, they don't say, let's go glide a kite or let's go kite a kite. The song is, let's go fly a kite.
That's true. That's true.
Go kite a kite.
Thank you.
Go kite a kite. Kite a kite.
Okay.
Kite kite.
My question's done.
Okay.
So back to Lan's question.
Thank you.
Which we're all waiting on the edge of our seats for the answer. The rest of the Scorn kind of hang back in, not all 46 of them or 44 of them, however many there are left, but the ones who were close enough in proximity, they all kind of watch from a distance as the ship flies overhead. The dozen or so that are out there watch the six that are approaching your devices. The other half tend to kind of fixate on the ship as it flies overhead. And since Draco is in the ventral turret, the one on bottom, you know, you can see these guys are watching you as you fly overhead. And you begin to set the ship down in the middle next to the larger tent. So I'm going to need Risker to make that piloting check.
What would the difficulty be?
It was average.
Flip some destiny, you're making me nervous.
Oh, do I get what?
Said flip some destiny, you're making me nervous.
Okay, I'll flip destiny.
Would he be able to use his own booster?
Wrong one.
Yes, I'll let him use his own booster. And I'm going to go ahead and flip some to upgrade the difficulty.
Okay.
And that's why we don't do that.
I was going to do it anyway.
Do your boost.
Would I get my boost die?
I'll give you your boost die, yes.
Okay, well.
You're emboldened by your own
success.
Ability and success, right? You're like, I'm good at this.
Great. Okay, what did I get? I failed, but I got four advantages. So I'm guessing it's one of those situations where I'm actually trying and I got too cocky and
Gotcha. So you come in a little too hot, right? You throttle up and you guys feel the pitch as the, what was it? What would it be called? The G-force?
Mm-hmm.
As the G-force, as you throttle up, as Risker throttles up, it pulls you guys to the back of the ship. So whatever you're close to, you kind of bump into that.
I just see Dad is in the middle of the cargo hold, wrapped up in Christmas lights, just rolling around.
Right. You bring the ship in and you tilt the nose up and bring it down. And you bring it down way too hard. So for like a split second, everybody who's not fastened into a seat, like the two people that are standing at the ramp getting ready to run out, and Data, you guys are zero gravity for probably a split second.
And slam.
And then all of a sudden, boom, as Risker slams the ship down. I'm going to give everybody 2 points of strain damage for that.
Can I take a coordination check to be a cat and always fall on my feet?
Everybody, yeah, let's do that. Everybody can make an average coordination check.
I also still have those four advantage, so can I use it to like spook the Scorn a little back so it gives them time to catch their breath?
Yeah, and I'm going to give Risker and Draco a boost to resist this strain damage.
Oh no, I'm actually getting
their
seat
belts. For wearing their seatbelts.
Let that be a lesson.
And you're going to spend your advantages to spook the Scorn, right?
Yeah, which was four advantages. So
yeah, they would obviously scatter because a large Corellian freighter is dropping in their midst rather hard. Mm-hmm. And it's a rather large vessel compared to them, so they do scatter.
I got three successes and a threat.
Okay, so no damage for you.
Yeah. But you're more tangled.
But you are more tangled than you were before.
One success.
So
I'm going to be so useless.
You will take no damage from the fall. Or from the landing. Draco?
I had one success and a threat.
Okay.
He's also tangled up in the Christmas lights.
No, you will take no damage. Do you have any idea how you would suggest spinning a threat? I've got
probably
one if you
strain.
Don't.
Whiplash.
You're rolling the coordination check to prevent taking strain, though.
Oh, okay. I thought it was no idea. Fire. Okay.
I've got one. In the slam, you release a shot from the turret. And you see probably two or three tents and any inhabitants around them immediately become a crater.
That was one threat?
Oh. Well, that's not a bad thing.
We're using starship weapons against people.
Oops.
No competition.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Which is weird, because they tried to burn a spaceship with a flamethrower. I remember that.
Risker?
I got no successes, but I got an advantage.
Okay. You'll take the 2 strain.
Okay.
And how would you like to spin your advantage?
The blanket went over my eyes as soon as I saw that the turret fired at some.
So you didn't see it happen.
You didn't get to see all the little families and women and children get vaporized.
Yeah.
This
vantage is to save his innocence.
Gotcha.
3 people run out and fire.
Didn't see it. Didn't happen.
And what about Vogue?
Really lucky. One success and one advantage.
Okay, so you will take no damage from the landing, and what would you like to do with your advantage?
No idea.
No idea?
Basically remain standing if possible.
He's also wrapped up in the Christmas lights.
Because going up and down like that would be really easy to...
That's okay. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Yeah, you're good. All right. So you guys, you regain your footing. You're already standing. You were able to brace. You'll be able to open the ramp. Now, at this point, Lan and Vogue have no clue that Draco had a weapon malfunction.
No, we just think that he's firing.
It's right. just like Draco, just firing for no reason.
Right.
That sounds like something.
Oh, there's a reason.
On children and family.
There's always a reason.
Right. Might not be a reason you like.
It doesn't have to be a good reason. Just a reason.
Lan absolutely did not want us just decimating the Scorn.
Right.
But for us to get to the tent, he was okay with Draco having to fire off a couple shots.
Right. Because we'd have to do something to keep them from
slaughtering us.
Right. So I'm not going to worry about it too much right now. We're just going to stick to the plan and run.
Okay. Run into the big tent.
So as you guys run out, you can see the smoldering crater off to your left. You're making your way more straight out of the ramp because Risker turned the vessel so that you had a straight shot to the larger tent. Coming out of the tent, you see the oddest sight you've ever seen. It is a sand maiden who looks like it has been through enough fights that it's scarred up, kind of like Draco is scarred up. You know, it's got its face is all scarred. It's probably missing talons and it's got a missing an eye. It's a fighter. On its back is what you guys could only guess would be a Scorn, the chieftain. He's got like almost like a feathery headdress that has feathers that match those large birds that were in your newly acquired warehouse, and he's wearing like a harness. The next oddest thing that you see about him is he has not two, but four arms. You've never seen any other Scorn. You've only seen the one, but you've never heard of or known of these things to have more than two arms and two legs. And this one has four arms.
So he's blocking the entrance.
He comes out as he rides out. The thing runs out full force and then skitters to a stop. And it puts its front paws out. You see sand and stuff fly up. And it kind of crouches in the back, but its front stays up. Mm. He's one arm, one of the left arms is holding the reins of this thing. The lower left arm has a dagger. Looks like it's made of like an antler or a bone carved into a sharp point. The other arms, the other ones on the right, are holding a spear, but they're both the top arm is holding the front part of the spear and the bottom arm is holding the back part. And he chitters and chirps and gestures towards you guys and then spurs his mount.
Throw the toys.
Right, yeah. I'll pull out one of the flashy grenade things and see if I can get the animal to fall.
Which one?
Yes. I don't care. If it distracts either one of them, I'm happy.
Right.
It's like a dog. You show it and then throw.
Yeah, he completely ignores the fact that you did anything like that. Actually, he kind of flinches and gets prepared to duck and cover because he's not really sure what you had going on. As he rides up closer to you guys, you see that all four of his hands are a sky blue kind of color, like they're dyed, like he's painted his hands blue. Mm-hmm. And over time it's faded away.
I'll run, not for the entrance of the tent.
Yeah, is there any way
but to the side of it,
to like towards the side of the tent, to get to the tent without him, like while avoiding him?
Okay, so he's coming at you guys and you guys are standing shoulder to shoulder, side by side, right. Land being on the right, Vog being on the left, right. So you're going to cut one way and you're going to cut the other, or you both going to cut the same way?
That works for me. I'm drawing my vibro blade as we run through the tent. And as soon as I get to the tent side, I'm just going to stick it in and cut down.
Okay, so you come around to the left and then you do that on the right?
I'm going
to
tear with my claws and just make an opening.
Okay, so as he gets right up on you, you guys split and go in opposite directions. Right. He slides to a stop, and Draco, you can see all of this. He cuts his eyes.
Shoot him now.
To his right side and then to his left side, and decides that he's going to take land. And yes. If he gives me
an opportunity to fire without hitting anybody, I'm going to blast.
There is definitely an opportunity. If you're going to take it, it would be now as he's coming about.
Well, the question is if you can hit him without leaving, you know, a kilometer wide trench that also streaks right through the middle of the tent.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
He actually splits in half into two Scorns with regular arms, then runs after both of you.
You hit him again, then he'll be four Scorn each with just one arm.
Yep. Four Scorn and 7 years ago.
That's exactly what I was
saying. Oh, I knew that was coming.
Thank you for setting that up. I'm thinking we're probably going to need to go into structured mode, roll initiative, and do that kind of stuff. So Data and Risker don't have to.
Okay, I won't.
Draco is going to use, I'm trying to think here what he would actually be using, cool or vigilance to.
Probably vigilance.
What's vigilance again?
It's like a
reactionary.
No, it would be cool then. No.
Yeah, because cool means he's in control. And okay. I mean, I'd feel like he's in pretty good position behind a turret.
But it also could be cool though, because he's you know, whipping around the turret. Right. See, I was imagining he's, you know, seeing the guy in his, and he's whipping around toward him.
I think cool.
Yeah, keeping your cool. I think so, because you know there's some crap going on, and that's when you would use cool.
Yeah.
I think you guys would both use cool, too.
Okay.
Bog and Lan. What'd you get, Lan?
2 successes, 2 advantage.
Bog?
1 advantage.
And Draco?
2 success, 1 advantage.
All right, let me get this guy squared away here.
He gets a roll for each arm.
Each set. Each set of arms.
But they come in sets of 4 on that one.
Oh, that was stupid.
Or they come in 2 sets of 2. Or 4 sets of 1.
All right. You guys, PCs have the initiative for the first slot.
Blast him.
Yep. Blast him.
As you guys are making your way to the tent, Draco opens up on him.
Okay.
So difficulty's then different.
Because he's a different size
scale. Right. Your vessel is what size silhouette? Is it 4?
No idea.
Wouldn't that be absolutely gargantuan?
Yep. Okay, so your difficulty, because you're shooting at the Scorn mounted on the Sand Maiden. The Sand Maiden is silhouette 2, so that's 2 points difference. So your difficulty is going to be hard. Okay. But since you want to target the rider, who is significantly smaller, you're going to have to make a called shot, and that's going to give you 2 setback dice to your roll.
Do you actually have to designate?
You will, because you're going to shoot one or the other.
So if, what if you aimed for the rider?
Sand Maiden is what I'm more afraid of, as far as for the guys, because it's going to do some damage. I have an interesting
Let's know that my riot shield will help protect me from a starship.
I don't think it's going to do that much protecting, but sure.
Well, I mean, it still factors in.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, it would help lot because it's really hard to hit someone small.
He said, oh my gosh. I don't know what that means.
That's not a good thing.
Come on, despair.
No despairs.
Aw.
I had 2 misses and a threat.
Ooh, a threat.
At least the first half of our plan worked.
I rolled really, really good on the bad dice.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
I'm not sure you know how this game works.
I just roll blanks on all my good dice, always.
So, it's a lot more difficult shooting a big starship weapon at a smaller, much smaller creature like this. And for a split second there, you were afraid to the point to squeeze off the round that you suffer a strain from that threat for being afraid that you're going to hit Lan or Vog. He does care. Mainly because you don't want to ruin the gear that they're carrying.
I take it all back.
That's not true.
Okay, so Draco lets loose a volley of destruction. Totally missing. The next PC slot is up.
Well, he's going after you, so.
Yeah, I'm going in the tent.
Yeah, you rip the tent and slip inside. It's very easy. Inside, you see that there are a lot of what you could only guess would be Sand Maiden pelts. In the center of the area, you see there are like more of those blankets that are kind of gathered up, almost like a cushion, or you know, where they've mounded them up and laying in them. Chained together using conventional chains like manacles or binders like you would use, you see 3 emaciated individuals. They're in horrible health where they've just apparently been starved. You're not really sure if they're miners, you're not sure who they are, but they are human and they have definitely seen better days.
Are they manacled to anything or just together?
Each other.
To each other.
So each of their legs, well, the first guy, his ankles are manacled together with a short, so he can't walk with a short chain. Those are manacled to the next guy who's manacled the same way and to the next guy who's manacled the same way. Their hands are bound behind their back, and they're not binders or manacles. They're bound together with big, thick leather straps that are tied, and they're wrapped around and so that it would be very difficult for them to get away.
Okay, I'll run towards them.
So you make your way to them. As you do, the force of what comes through that hole that you just cut in the tent shakes the entire tent, and it makes the flaps, you know, open, and the light kind of flickers through from the outside as this massive sand maiden and her rider enter through the same hole you made. When it does, it comes through and its head whips back and forth, and you can see all those eyes as it takes up a defensive stance. The rider holds up the spear that he's holding with his right arms, chitters and chirps very excitedly at you as he raises the spear over his head, and then he holds that dagger, the knife, the bone knife that he has, and he points it at you.
All right.
And then we'll move to Vog.
All right, so I move to the tent, and I'm just going to tear it open and
rip it right open, right? No problem. When you come in, you see Lan running across the room towards the center of the room, or the center of the tent, and you see, you come through just in time to see the Sand Maiden and the Scorn, what you think is the chieftain, barge through the hole that Lan cut.
All right, seeing that it's going for him, do I have anything else I can do, or make another maneuver?
You can take another maneuver to intercept.
Yeah, I want to try and get between Lan and this thing.
Okay. And that is not difficult at all. So you're there. Now we whip back around. Before we go any further, does Risker or Data want to do anything? Because you're in the cockpit looking out, Risker.
No, I have to move the coat out of my face.
That is true. So you have no idea what's going on outside? Mm-mm,
no idea. I just heard blaster noise and everything.
Yes, perfect. Okay, blaster noise.
Okay. Oh.
Nothing? You don't want to do anything?
Okay, no, he's going to try and scramble to get the coat off his eyes. And what does he see out there?
Chaos.
Like,
there's Scorn running in every direction. You do not see Lan or Vog from the cockpit from where you are, but you see Scorn running, and they're shooting at the ship. Couple of blasts impact on the canopy of the cockpit, and they just open fire. They're just blasting the ship up, but it's all cosmetic damage.
All right, I'm gonna turn on the comm like, Draco, what just happened? Why are the tents on fire? What happened? I blinked a long time. What happened?
What do you think happened?
It looks like you opened fire on the Scorn. I mean, like, where are Vavog and They're in the pig tent. Why are they? Oh yeah. Okay. Should I do anything? Should I just stay?
Yeah, stay in the cockpit.
No, well, I'm in the ship. Should I move the ship or should I just?
No. Stay in the cockpit.
Just stay where I am.
Yeah.
And okay. I imagine while this is going on, while you guys are talking, when Draco's mic is open to respond to Risker's questions, you can hear the turret blasting.
Oh my God.
Because I think Draco's pulling a full metal jacket here where the gunner on the Huey's just opening fire on the Vietnamese in that movie. That's the way I see it. He's the comedian over here.
If it's moving, it's a target.
It's blasting, right?
Draco, why are we still opening fire, though? What if you hit a Vog and land? I mean, was this part of the plan?
That concludes this week's episode. The crew surrounded by Scorn. Tune in next week to see what happens.
Father.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network, bringing you the geek.